the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
You know, Mark's gospel is coming at us at high speed. Different stories piling up like the snow outside today. Now, it's actually taken us 2 months to read the whole first chapter of Mark, and we took a week here and there to dip into the gospels of John and Luke during Christmas. But just stop and consider for a moment how much and how quickly everything has happened up to this point. In the very first verses of the gospel of Mark, John the Baptist appears on the scene to preach repentance, to baptize, and to, quote, prepare the way for Jesus. That lasts about 6 verses. Then, enter Jesus. There's no birth stories in the Gospel of Mark. There's no little boy in the temple. There's no magi visiting the baby. Just grown-up Jesus, ready to go, ready to rock. And it all starts with a sky-ripping baptism. All that lasts 3 verses. I'm taking longer to describe it than it takes to write it. Then the gut-wrenching temptation in the wilderness. Matthew and Luke take almost 15 verses to describe what all happened to Jesus out there in the wilderness, all the different temptations he experienced. 15 verses they take. Mark does it in 2. Then Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee, calls some disciples, and some patterns begin to emerge, all still here in the first chapter. Moving in and out of the synagogue, Jesus preaches and heals. Preaching and healing, preaching and healing, preaching and healing. We almost settle into a rhythm in this book of Mark. Preaching and healing almost become synonymous together. And where they happen is not as important as the fact that there is this healthy flow and balance to Jesus' movement in and out of the synagogue, the worship space, in other words. It's a nice reminder for us, too, today. Whether Jesus is preaching or healing, the end result is that life and health are not just proclaimed gently, but rather injected like a life-giving shot. That's Mark's almost abrasive style. This life-giving shot. It's not this nice, sweet message of preaching and healing. No, it's a shot freely granted over and against death and all those demonic forces that keep us down. It just keeps happening. Keep watching for it in this year of Mark, and let that good message become part of your own movement in and out of your holy space, your worship place, following the example of Jesus, preaching and healing, moving in and out of the sanctuary. The life and health injection is certainly a theme on a number of levels in our lesson for today. Here in the text, Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law. She doesn't even have a name, by the way. And that's not the first time this happens to women in the Bible. There are countless nameless women who teach us, and that's the case here. Never get a name. Now, I wonder if perhaps you had, like many who read this text today, an immediate and very natural and appropriate reaction when Simon's mother-in-law is healed by Jesus. Did you catch what the first thing she does afterwards is? It says Jesus takes her by the hand, lifts her up, the fever leaves her immediately, and she began serving them. You almost get this impression that the disciples are like, hey, Jesus, can you fix her? Because we're getting hungry here. At first glance, it's almost like she is a victim of Jesus' healing. Maybe that's true. But I do think it puts a modern lens on the story. And that's okay. It's what we do. And I think we should always be reading these ancient texts with critical lenses around gender roles and sexism, racism, xenophobia, all of them. But, friends, don't miss also some of Mark's major themes that are emerging here, even in this first chapter. Namely, the theme I've been talking about for a number of weeks, the casting out demons theme. I think that's in place here too. with this fever. There's a certain demonicness to the fever. And the other theme is the theme of bread, the theme of eating, serving, feeding. I'd almost contrast the two as I look at the whole Gospel of Mark. Is it the devil's way? Is it Satan's way of the demonic, the fevers, the illness, the unclean spirits? Or is it bread, feeding, serving, eating, sharing? Jesus is constantly trying to teach his male disciples about serving and caring for one another, emptying themselves of ego, pride, bluster, think demonic, and instead embodying love, compassion, service, justice for all, think bread. And Simon's mother-in-law gets that immediately. Jesus is constantly trying to get the disciples to respond to the life and health he is injecting. We'll see, actually, that they're not getting it as the gospel goes on. They're just not getting it. It's almost like they've got a high tolerance to the Jesus injection, like the vaccine doesn't take. But Simon's mother-in-law is immediately impacted by Jesus' life-giving shot. He takes her by the hand, and it takes. How's your immunity to Jesus' life-giving power? Is the shot only 50% effective? Is it taking? You know, those of us who have been around the church for a lot of years, who have heard this language about grace and forgiveness ad nauseum, week in and week out, we have a tough task, friends, because I imagine we've got a pretty high tolerance to the Jesus injection, too. To hear Sunday after Sunday what we heard again this morning, how vast is God's grace through the power and promise of Christ Jesus, our sins are washed away. Over and over we hear that. My baptismal song, God gave us a gift to set us free when the waters were poured down on you and me. We hear that over and over. The peace of Christ be with you always. Every week we say that. Again and again. It means we're in danger, I'm afraid, of producing some pretty potent antibodies to Jesus' life-saving, life-giving power and healing. So were the disciples. I couldn't help but laugh a little bit thinking about the verses 36 and 37. This is where Simon and the others come and find Jesus and they say, "Hey, Jesus, everybody's looking for you." In other words, "Hey, Jesus, you do it. All these people need help, Jesus." It's a great lesson for us. "Hey, guru, you do it. Hey, bishop, you do it. We need help. All these other people need help. Hey, pastor, you do it. Hey, church council, you do it. Hey, Mr. President. Hey, Congress, you do it. Hey, doctors, you do it. Teachers, you do it. Everyone is looking for you. You do it." All these people need help. And like the disciples, maybe we can have the tendency to go get the guru to help them. But it occurs to me, we don't say at the end of the service, "Go in peace and find someone else to serve." Well, actually, so Jesus complies with this request in this text here today, actually. That's because we're still in chapter 1. The further we get into Mark, the more we get the sense that Jesus is constantly injecting this life-giving power into his disciples. But it's going to take a couple shots. They keep resisting. It doesn't take right away. On the other hand, Simon's mother-in-law gets it immediately. She serves. It's a foreglimpse of our ministry in Christ. She is our teacher today. Immediately, she began to serve them, it says. Yes, I think there is some sexism built in. There always is, unfortunately. But don't miss, friends, the transformation, the immediately, the fact that Jesus' healing took with her. The life-giving power of Jesus is what we speak of at the end of our worship. Go in peace, serve the Lord, we say. That's not just some catchy little thing to say at the end. It's not just code for, hey, good news, the church thing today is finally over, and now you can go home, go back to your life unchanged. No, go in peace, serve the Lord means injected with God's life-giving power, injected with healing, injected with Christ light, injected with the promise of divine presence, injected with a peaceful assurance that the whole world is, in fact, in God's hands, despite all the turbulence. That's the peace that passes all understanding. Injected with Jesus himself in the holy waters of the font, in bread and wine, injected with grace, go now and share it with others. Go now and serve immediately, like Simon's mother-in-law did. Friends, Jesus injects us again today with life and health over and against the powers that hold us down. Jesus raises us from our fevered state so that we too might get it and serve in response. And maybe part of that injection, by the way, is finding some quiet space too. Maybe Sabbath is part of the injection. This is a rich text today. It's not just go work your brains out for the other. We also see our Lord resting. Verse 35. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus went away to a deserted place to pray. He's doing that all the time, by the way. As I hand wrote this passage this week, as I've been in the discipline of doing, I had this thought, you know, wait a second, Jesus goes away to a deserted place. There were still many more people that needed healing. He wasn't finished. What's he doing going away? Jesus himself is going off to a deserted place to pray. Sabbath is what that is. Friends, part of the injection, I believe, is taking the moments we need, the downtime we need. Jesus is modeling it, the prayer time we need. What a gift the snow can be. It slows us down. It's like a reminder from God, hey, take a quiet place. Jesus is always silencing the demons in the Gospel of Mark. Hey, take a quiet place. Maybe those are the voices in our heads that never stop. The anxiety about the future, the traumatic voices from our past, the good and noble things that we feel we have to do out there, the cries from all the people that need us. Can you sense a certain fever? I mean, I'm getting anxious just naming all those. Jesus models for us going away for a bit, recalibrating, praying. That too, friends, is Christ taking us by the hand, like he did with Simon's mother-in-law, and lifting us up. That's the snow day. Everybody needs a snow day, no matter what your climate. It makes the fever go away, you see. This is our God lifting us up, healing us, showing us how to slow down and calling us from Sabbath back into gospel action, back and forth, working for justice, offering peace, living in hope, and sharing God's joy with this world. This is our God, friends, sheltering us and holding us in the palm of her hand this day and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.
On behalf of all of us, us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical. That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.